Yes, praise the Lord for Mary Ellen. Thank you. We appreciate all our pianists, but that was really beautiful, Mary Ellen. So thank you. Good morning, church family. All right. And good morning to those of you joining us online. We welcome you to the Alameda Christian Reformed Church. We are so glad that you are here this morning and that you can join us as we worship the Lord together and as we hear from His Word. To those of you who are visiting this morning, a special welcome to you. We're glad that you're here. And if you feel so compelled, we would love the opportunity to get to know you better and for you to get to know us better. So we invite you, if you would like, to fill out those yellow cards that you will find in your pews with any information that you would like us to have, and you can stick those in the offering baskets that will go around later on in the service. But also, if you have any prayer needs, prayer requests, we would also like the opportunity to pray for you. So you can fill out those yellow cards with any prayer requests, and you can also put those in the offering baskets, and we would love to pray for you. Happy Father's Day to all our fathers, all our father figures and mentors. You are a gift and a blessing from our Heavenly Father, and we thank the Lord for you. And we also want to be mindful that perhaps Father's Day is joyful for you, but perhaps it's also bittersweet or challenging day for you. Just know that the Lord sees you and He meets you where you are, and we're just thankful for you. Later on in the service, we have our installation portion where we will install our newest elder and deacon. So that's a very special time for our church. They'll be serving their terms for 3 years, and we're excited that the Lord has led Todd and Aaron to serve in this capacity, along with the rest of our council. And church family, we have the opportunity to share God's love with our community. The Midway Shelter here in Alameda, which is a shelter that offers a place for women and children who are victims of abuse to have a safe place to go. So we are starting today collecting items that they are in need of, and we're going to be collecting those items through July 12th. So we have a good amount of time to collect. There is a list of all the things that they are in need of on the wall underneath the television screen in the entryway. So please do take a look at that list and prayerfully consider what you can donate to the Midway Shelter. So let's show God's love to the Midway Shelter and the people who come there. What's happening at our church this week? Please do read your bulletins, as a lot of the ministries and Bible studies that typically meet are going to take a break for the summer. So do read your bulletins for a list of events, the schedule, when things are happening. I know the prayer group is going to continue to meet on Mondays, so that's happening. And then, of course, on Saturday, it's the men's breakfast, 7:30 at Marty's. But again, take a look at your bulletin for more announcements. Oh, Jack? Not Marty's. Not Marty's this week. Do you know where? Jim's. Ooh, which one? On Lincoln. Okay. So men, if you attend that breakfast at 7:30 in the morning on Saturdays, Jim's on Lincoln is where you're going to meet, and not Marty's. All right. So those are the announcements, unless anybody has anything else. Kat, do you want to join me or no? Okay, great. She's going to help lead this morning, our worship portion. And if you are able, if you would please stand for our call to worship. And our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 119. And with reverence and humility and gratitude, let us say together, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart." And now we're going to praise our Heavenly Father together with songs praising Him for being our Heavenly Father. Let's lift up our voices and praise the Lord.
Thank you. Lord God Almighty, he greets you this morning and he says, grace and peace and love be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
No, I forgot to announce the cookout after the service. So for Father's Day, right? So if you don't have plans for lunch, please know that you are invited for that time of food and fellowship after the service.
Our call to confession is going to come out of Psalm 119. If you would please respond in yellow. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Our prayer of confession. Holy Lord, I have sinned times without number, and been guilty of pride and unbelief, of failure to find thy mind in thy word, of neglect to seek thee in my daily life. My transgressions and shortcomings present me with a list of accusations, but I bless thee that they will not stand against me, for all have been laid on Christ. Go on to subdue my corruptions and grant me grace to live above them. Let not the passions of the flesh nor lustings of the mind bring my spirit into subjugation, but do thou rule over me in liberty and power. I thank thee that many of my prayers have been refused. I have asked amiss and do not have. I have prayed from lust and been rejected. I have longed for Egypt and been given a wilderness. Go on with thy patient work, answering no to my wrongful prayers and fitting me to accept it. Purge me from every false desire, every base aspiration, everything contrary to thy rule. I thank thee for thy wisdom and thy love, for all the acts of discipline to which I am subject, for sometimes putting me into the furnace to refine my gold and remove my dross. No trial is so hard to bear as a sense of sin. If thou shouldest give me choice to live in pleasure and keep my sins, or to have them burned away with trial, give me sacrificed affliction. Deliver me from every evil habit, every accretion of former sins, everything that dims the brightness of thy grace in me, everything that prevents me taking delight in thee. Then shall I bless thee, God of Joshua, for helping me to be upright. Amen. Our assurance of pardon comes from Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. We walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Friends, this is good news. Amen. Would you please join with me in singing, "Great is thy faithfulness," in God's restoration of us to himself. Join with me in prayer. Indeed, Lord, you are faithful and true from age to age, from generation to generation. And Lord, you have demonstrated again and again your faithful love to your people. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise for providing us, Lord, the gracious gift of being called your own. We give you praise for sending your one and only Son to die for us. That you, Father, should give such a gift is beyond, Lord, what we can express in a lifetime of gratitude or even in an eternity of gratitude. We thank you. We thank you, O gracious God, for modeling for us what it means to be Father. We thank you, Lord, for being our perfect Father, for loving us, Lord, in a way that we grow and thrive in a way, Lord, it brings honor and glory to your name in a way, Lord, that reflects truth, your truth, Lord, you have given to us this beautiful gift. Help us, Lord, us fathers, men who stand, Lord, in the in the good and hard place of being model, of being, Lord, a mentor. Grant each man, Lord, your wisdom, your words, your love, that we, Lord, may indeed continue to point the next generation to you. And Lord, we thank you for the fathers that you have placed in our life. Imperfect as they were, Lord, you have indeed used them to continue your plan, Lord, and your kingdom's progression. May we, Lord, indeed remember today well the good gift that you have given us and the men that you have set before us and ahead of us. May we praise you for that gift. Heavenly Father, we lift to you those in our congregation struggling with illnesses. Lord, we lift to you Daniel Park, and we pray that you would grant him days without pain and manageable pain, Lord. We pray, Lord, that that you would continue to be ever near him, and we thank you, Lord, for the faith that you have grown and sustained in him now, that he looks forward, Lord, to eternity with you, and that this world does not hold his attention. Heavenly Father, we want to lift to you Bud, and we pray, Lord, that you would continue, Lord, your good call on his life. We pray, Lord, that you would ignite a holy desire for you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that for also those that are in assisted living homes, for Arenda and Keiko and Winnie, that you would continue to give them a passion to know you, Lord, and a desire to see your glory day in and day out. To know, Lord, that they are dearly loved by you. Remind them, Lord, in your word. Remind them, Lord, by your spirit. And remind them, Lord, with your servants. Lord, we lift up Julian to you, and we pray that his appointment this week would be positive. We pray, Lord, that he will not need surgery. We pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, bring healing to him quickly, completely. Heavenly Father, we pray for the surgeries that are upcoming. We pray that they would go smoothly. We pray for your protection and your healing, O Lord. And Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are mourning. That in remembering, Lord, fathers, there is also the sorrow that comes from the absence of them. But we, Lord, recognize that you are more than enough. You are our good and perfect Father. And that the absence of the fathers that we have in this life is more than fulfilled in you as our Heavenly Father. So in the grief and in the sorrow of our loss, O Lord, comfort us. Mend our hearts. Restore us, Lord. Restore us to the joy of your salvation. And as we continue, Lord, through the worship service, acknowledging you as King and Lord, the sovereign over all of our lives, grant us, Lord, the posture of praise and worship. Grant us humble hearts to receive and continue to receive from your hand. And may you be glorified and continue to be glorified here this morning. Amen. At this time, I will invite our deacons forward to receive our offering this morning, which will be for the general fund here at Alameda CRC. Be seated. Kids, you may come forward. Whoop. Nope, just kidding. You get to hang out with us for a little bit and experience the wonder of installation. You get to look forward to it as being members. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Congregation of Jesus Christ, today we celebrate God's gift of faithful leadership for his people. We joyfully thank him for Luann Sankey and Dennis Shepherd, who have served well and have completed their terms of office, and we praise him for providing their successors, Aaron Hahn and Todd Postma. And so I want to give a special thanks to both Luann and Dennis. Luann, I want to thank you. You have such a heart of a servant that you have modeled what it means to be a deacon to all of us, and for that I am deeply grateful. I am also deeply grateful that being that servant, you just kept taking on more years. So I am sad to see you depart from council, but you aren't departing far from us. So I pray that the Lord will continue to use you in the church body as he has. So thank you. And Dennis, thank you for having a true heart of a shepherd, desiring to see God's people grow in their love for God and for one another. You have had a passion and zeal for God that is worth modeling, and I am so blessed to have had you on council serving alongside one another. You were deeply missed, and you have been greatly appreciated. God has given us a great gift in you. And I am so thankful that you're not going too terribly far and you'll still be with us. Amen. So in this office bearers of the church, we see the love of Christ for his people. As the Lord of the church, he appoints leaders to govern in his name and to proclaim the spiritual well-being of his people. By his Spirit, he equips these leaders so that believers may grow in faith, develop disciplined Christian living, serve others in selfless love, and share with all the good news of salvation. The Apostle Paul stated this most clearly when he wrote to the church, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Ephesians 4:11-13. And Jesus Christ taught us the spirit of true leadership when he said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Matthew 20:26-28. Elders serve by exercising oversight of the church in Christ's name. The Apostle Paul told the elders at Ephesus, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God by which he bought with his own blood." Acts 20:28. Elders must provide for the true preaching of the word, instruction for faith formation for both youth and adults, regular celebration of the sacraments, and faithful counsel and discipline while keeping in confidence those matters entrusted to them. And they must promote fellowship and hospitality among believers, ensure good order in the church, and stimulate witness to all people. Deacons serve by leading and equipping the church to minister to its members and to the world in a rich diversity of ministries, awakening compassion, demonstrating mercy, seeking justice, and collaborating with God's Spirit for the transformation of persons and communities. In imitation of Christ's mercy, deacons teach us to love God, our neighbor, and the creation with acts of generous sharing, joyful hospitality, thoughtful care, and wise stewardship of all of God's gifts. Deacons offer holistic responses that respect the dignity of all people, working to change exploitative structures and systems, equipping the church for ministries of reconciliation and peacemaking, and seeking opportunities for advocacy. To help them accomplish these tasks, deacons are to identify and develop gifts in both the church and community. By adding to all this words of encouragement and hope, deacons demonstrate in word and deed the care of the Lord himself. The deacons and the elders, together with the ministers, are responsible for the general administration of the church. These tasks of elder and deacon call for believers who are Christ-like, who are mature in faith, and who exercise their offices with prayer, patience, and humility. So today we intend to ordain one elder and one deacon and to install them for the terms of service in this congregation. Those appointed to the office of elder is Todd Postma, so if you would come down. And the one who is appointed to our deacon is Aaron Hahn, so if you would come down. Because to express the acceptance of these offices, you are asked to stand here in the presence of God and in his church and to answer the following questions. My sound guy. He's showing you one. One? One.
Test, test.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Praise be to the Lord Almighty. All right. Oh, good, because I lost my place. All right, so here are the following questions. At the end of the four questions, we'll have you respond, "I do, God helping me." All right. So do you believe that in the call of this congregation, God himself is calling you to these holy offices? Do you believe that the Old and New Testament are the Word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and life? Do you subscribe to the doctrinal standards of this church, rejecting all teaching which contradicts them? Do you promise to do the work of your offices faithfully, in a way worthy of your calling and in submission to the government and discipline of the church? Todd, do you?
I do, God helping me.
Aaron, do you?
I do, God helping me.
Amen. So I would ask that the council members who are here to please come forward, and we will lay hands on our inductees and pray for them. Yes, Luann, you are instructed to come down as well. All right. If you would please join with me in prayer. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your provision. Thank you, Lord, for Todd and for Aaron. Holy Spirit, you have called them into, Lord, these offices. And Lord, I have witnessed you time and time again equip your people for exactly what they are called to do. Your word, Lord, tells us that you have prepared good works for us to do in advance. Your word tells us that we are empowered by you, Holy Spirit, to actively engage in those good works. And so I pray, Lord, for Todd and for Aaron, that they would, by your good, gracious gift, be courageous to step into those good works you have set before them, that you would grant them, Lord, your wisdom. Wisdom to navigate ministry amongst your people. Ministry amongst the community that you have placed us in. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow in them a faith that, Lord, is unshakable. And that their eyes are fixed on you, Jesus. And that, Lord, in their service, laying down their life for your people, Lord, you would be glorified. Lord, we entrust this time and these servants into your care, for you are good and your will is good. And we look forward, Lord, to seeing you continuing to move in and amongst us and in the life of these two men. To your praise and to your glory forevermore. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Thank you, gentlemen. It's a little bittersweet, isn't it? I have Elder and Deacon leaving the council and new ones coming on and the excitement of the next thing. So we will be reminded then this morning of the charges to our office bearers. I charge you elders as shepherds of the flock to hold family to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Titus 1:9. Be a friend and Christ-like example to children. Give clear and cheerful guidance to young people. By word and example, bear up God's people in their pain and weakness and celebrate their joys with them. Hold in trust all sensitive matters confided to you. Encourage the aged to persevere in God's promises. Be wise counselors who support and strengthen the pastor. Be compassionate yet firm and consistent in rebuke and discipline. Know the scriptures, which are useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Pray continually for the church. Remember at all times that if you would truly give spiritual leadership to the household of faith, you must be completely mastered by your Lord. To the deacons, I charge you to inspire faithful ministries of service to one another, to the larger community, and to the world. Remind us that the Lord requires us to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. Teach us to be merciful and to seize new opportunities to worship God with offerings of wealth, time, and ability. Realize that benevolence is a quality of our life in Christ and not merely a matter of financial assistance. Therefore, minister to rich and poor alike, both within and outside the church. Weigh our opportunities for giving and service and use the church's resources discerningly. Be compassionate to those in need and treat them with dignity and respect. Hold in trust all sensitive matters confided to you. Encourage with words that create hope in hearts and with deeds that bring joy into lives. Be prophetic critics of the waste, injustice, and selfishness in our society, and be sensitive counselors to the victims of such evils. Let your lives be above reproach. Live as examples of Christ Jesus. Look to the interests of others, and in all your ministries, help us participate in the renewing of all things, even as we anticipate its completion when God's kingdom comes. I charge you, people of God, to receive these office bearers as Christ's gift to the church. Recognize in them the Lord's provision for healthy congregational life. Hold them in honor. Take their counsel seriously. Respond to them with obedience and respect. Accept their help with thanks. Wholeheartedly participate in the ministries into which they lead you. Sustain them in prayer and encourage them with your support, especially when they feel the burden of their office. Acknowledge them as the Lord's servants among you. Do you, congregation, pledge to receive them as you have been charged? Amen. Would you join with me in prayer? A merciful Father in heaven, we thank you that you have provided faithful and gifted people to serve as elder and deacon. As these new office bearers assume their responsibilities, fill them with your spirit, endow them with your wisdom, and grant them strength. Make them faithful workers in your vineyard. Under their guidance, may your church grow in every spiritual grace and faith, which is open and unashamed, and in the committed service that promotes your reign in the world. Help them to perform their duties with enthusiasm and humility. In their work, grant them a sense of sustained awe that is rooted in daily adoration of you, their Lord. Through them, may your name be honored and your church be served. Help us, your people, to accept them gladly. Encourage them always and respect them for the sake of your precious Son, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, I'll invite you children to come forward and we'll send you off to Kids Connection. So, preschool through eighth grade? Freshman? All right. So the Lord be with you. All right, amen. We, congregation, are going to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 6 through 12. So you're going to open up your Bibles because I know you brought one. If you didn't, that's okay. We got you covered. There's one in the pew. If you're using the one in the pew, you can go to 1154. If you brought your own, you got to find it. So it's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you went there, you got to come back. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, as we continue our series through Galatians this summer. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. And Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, that you continue your good work in our hearts, transforming us by it. We eagerly anticipate and we reflect, Lord, upon the anticipation we have of what you will do here this morning amongst your people. To your grace, or to your glory and to your praise forevermore. Amen. So we are working on through Galatians series. Specifically, this is a series of freedom. What does it mean to be free? The first one we looked at was it was free to all. Like anyone and everyone is invited into this freedom. This freedom is found in Jesus, the Son who sets us free. The second week we learned that what are we set free to? We are set free to live. We're not bound by the chains of sin and death anymore, but we have been released to truly live. Live in abundance. That's what Christ promised us, and that's what we receive. So this morning, in our Galatians text, as we're walking through this beautiful book about freedom, we come to the next piece, and as the title says, it's free to curse. And in conversations over this last week, I have received some feedback as to, you know, this is a curse. Now I can go out and swear to my heart's content? No. No, that's not what we mean. It's not what I mean when I say curse. We have lost, I think, and Eugene Peterson points this out in his book, Traveling Light. We have, as a greater church body, especially in America, lost the... We've lost the ability to curse, to call a lie, and want to sever it out and cut it out, to call a untruth about who God is, or a half-truth about who God is, heresy. We have, I believe, cut our legs out from underneath us and helping establish the boundaries that give us true freedom. And in Galatians, we have been given a gift. Paul writes letters to various churches. Most of our New Testament is his letters. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. They're going to church bodies that he has planted or anticipates to plant in Rome. And in everyone except this one, he introduces himself, reminds them who he is, reminds them who they are, reminds them that God is their good, gracious Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ is their Savior, and then he goes into a thanksgiving for that particular community. That's how every other letter works. There is no thanksgiving here. Paul introduces, right? So this is free to live. That's that first section. He introduces the letter, and he's, you guys, we are free to live. Hallelujah. We are in full embrace of the gospel, the good news message. Christ has set us free. And then he jumps right in. He says, I can't believe that you have thrown away. There's no thanksgiving. Like, this is important stuff. I think we kind of have lost a lot of that zeal to maintain truth. And it's understandable. I mean, we have a history of pretty nasty baggage. I'd say heresy. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? Why is it uncomfortable? Well, when we look at history, the church has, you know, burned people for heresy. And it wasn't even terribly too long ago either, like, you know, the pilgrims over in the colonies at Salem. So we have this baggage of heresy, and now we're afraid to use it. And when we don't use it, then the lies bring death to our life and bondage when we should be free. It's a serious business believing a lie about who God is. And it's a serious business because it directly impacts your life. Paul knew this, and this is why he's so fired up. The Galatians were believing a lie about God. And the lie was a half-truth. The half-truth was that God requires obedience. The lie was so that you might be accounted his children. It's just a little twist, but it's enough to make it so that their lives were lives that were defined by slavery. Because now, those teachers that were teaching this lie to the congregation were changed. The lie was, all right, that God requires obedience to be his children. You're welcome. I'm sure someone else out there was like, whew, I'm so glad you asked, Elaine, because I missed it too. All right? Because those teachers were telling the ones that had received the Holy Spirit, that had been baptized, that had been restored to God, that they weren't really children of God until they were circumcised. Until they believed and followed all of the laws in the Old Testament. They could not be accounted their children. That is a lie. A little twist that changed their life from freedom to life of slavery. That changed life from life to death. so Paul is fired up. The same is true in our life today. When we make God out to be an angry tyrant who expects perfection, we're taking a little bit of truth. Yes, does God expect perfect? He does. We're taking it, and we're choosing only to see that. And here's the kicker. You ready? The translation of the word heresy is to choose. You choose one part of faith and neglect everything else. So you get to choose and focus on the judgment and justice of God, and that's all that you see? You live a life of fear and anxiety and wondering if I will ever be good enough, because the reality is you aren't. And then our expectations of those around us becomes elevated, and everyone is a disappointment. You know, it's really hard to love a disappointment. One truth that's twisted just a little bit makes a lie that transforms life to death and freedom to slavery. The other opposite side of that coin, God loves us. He accepts you for who you are. Amen. He does. He created you. He loves you. And then we stop there. We stop there, and so we diminish sin. And we go from tolerating sin to affirming it. Oh, well, that's who you are. God loves you. He loves your sin. And so instead of embracing the freedom to move into new creation, we are bound to be the same we entered in. And that's death. There's no life in that. There's no life in a God who is only mercy and has no bearing on sin and declaration of what is death. And so what does that mean in our life then? It changes it drastically. We don't need to confess sin because sin isn't worth confessing. We don't need to repent. Because it's just little stuff. Like, God doesn't care. He's going to love me anyways. I'm just going to keep on living into all of my selfish desires because God's going to love me anyways. This is the danger of heresy amongst God's people. And we see it in the life of the church today, just like Paul saw it in the life of the Galatian church. It's a wily thing. It is an uncomfortable thing. And if we're going to roots of lies and half-truths, then we're also going to pull out that lie and half-truth. That you should be comfortable all the time. That if you're uncomfortable, then we should immediately seek comfort. So if it feels yucky to declare something a heresy, then we just simply label it as probably not really great And I'm not going to participate in it, but you be you. Yes, that term. That's your truth is your truth. You be you. You be true to yourself. No. It's not what God has for us as a community, as a people of His that belong and are subjected to His truth, that are in the freedom of Christ, that are living out this truth on a daily basis. We have to say no. God is inviting you into something better. No, the heresy has to stop and it has to end because we recognize that it is bringing destruction, not life. And we can't be apathetic towards it, but we need to embrace the truth and hold myself and one another to it. That's why every year we do the installation ceremony. That's why every year I read what it says, because I can't memorize it very well, and I need every word to be important, because in each one of those, it is a call for both the elder and the deacon to hold the church accountable to God's truth. The unmoving, unchanging Word of God. Because outside of that is death. Outside of that is destruction. Outside of that is slavery. And we have lived into that slavery. We have lived that life of destruction. We have lived and walked the path to death, and we don't want to be there. Amen? Amen, we don't want to be there. That's why we sought Jesus. That's why Jesus sought us. Why would we return to that? That's the gospel. That's the gospel that Paul writes again and again in every single one of his letters. That's why it stems from the beginning, the creation to Revelation. That's what God is offering us, is the gospel, the good news. The good news is that God saves us from sin. God doesn't save us to sin. God saves us from sin. God loves us for who we are, but He loves us so much that He refuses to allow us to remain the same, living in destruction. Moves us into life. Sometimes He moves us kicking and screaming into life. And when we get there, we're like, oh, this is really good. This is God's mercy and compassion and justice and forgiveness and righteousness and sovereignty. This is the entirety of who God is, not a piece of it that we choose to look at. The wholeness of it. And when we have a wholeness, the whole understanding of God, which is going to take an eternity to unravel to its depths, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But as we grow into this wholeness, what we get in receiving and embracing and entering into is that we get a wholeness of being as well. And when we live into true life, when we live into true freedom, we can never go back. And we can never be satisfied with others in that place either. And so we curse it. We curse it like God cursed it. in Genesis. He cursed the serpent. He cursed the land. He cursed humanity because we lived outside of his good order, his freedom. And he named it. He called it as it is, and it is death. We as a church need to see the lies and the half-truths and say, that is death. May it be cursed. Paul was really serious about this because he did it twice. And we, those of you who've been studying the Bible for any amount of time, when it's repeated, you know that it's important. And when he does it again, and he even highlights it by saying, it's no trouble, I'll do this again. When he says it that way, yeah, you know that's important, right? He says, if anyone preaches you another gospel, if they are adding stuff to the gift of Christ, if they're saying Christ wasn't enough, you need to blank, may they be accursed. It's death. If they are trying to change your perspective of who God is, not according to Scripture, but according to their focus, may they be accursed. It's death. I really appreciate Eugene Peterson's translation of this. Because what he says, how he translates it is, he says, let me be blunt. If one of us, even an angel from heaven, were to preach something other than what we preach originally, let him be cursed. I said it once, I'll say it again. If anyone, regardless of reputation or credentials, preaches something other than what you receive originally, let him be cursed. If I preach something other than what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is found in Scripture, may I be cursed. It's death. May I be held accountable by the elders and the deacons. May it indeed be a standard in which we hold one another to. Because it's not about obedience and disobedience. It's about life and death. It's about freedom and slavery. When we live into freedom and when we live into the gospel message and we are free to live and we are free to call death, death, and we are free to curse it, to cut it out, to set it apart and follow Jesus unhindered, unbound, with joy. Would you join with me in prayer? Lord, thank you for the gospel that sets us free. Guard our hearts from every lie about you. Give us courage to love truth, to reject what destroys life, and to proclaim your good news with both clarity and compassion. In Jesus' name, who makes us free indeed, amen. Our hymn of response this morning is Faith of Our Fathers. If you are able, please stand and we will sing together. before you receive the Lord's blessing, let me extend to you the invitation again for this afternoon. We are grilling up hamburgers and hot dogs, so we invite you to stay around and enjoy some good food and fellowship. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped completely for every good work. Amen.